Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless His word. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, once again we are thankful to you for this wonderful, wonderful opportunity you have given to us so that we wash one another's feet and we pray for one another, Lord. And I thank you because you are going to honor that prayer with a commitment, with a desire that you enable us to pray. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to share a testimony this evening. A testimony of how God works with us. I always seek the wisdom of God. You know, God's wisdom is better than man's wisdom. Wisdom that God gives, the knowledge, the understanding. Since I'm working in another profession other than this ministry work, for that also I ask all the time God's direction and guidance. And even when I speak, at professional meetings, when I'm called to give any presentation in whatever the area, I ask the Lord to guide. Though I read a lot of things and guide, ask the Lord to guide me. Particularly, every word that I speak, I knew that if God gives me the right word, that I can honor the Lord. So, at the beginning of the year, that at the top management of the bank, we normally visit about 3-4 branches of our bank, and to encourage the staff and address them. So I was to go to a couple of branches, including the branch here in this place here. And while I was driving, I asked the Lord, what should I tell the people today, being a new year? And immediately Lord said, you know, there's something hidden in the initials that you have. And my initials are CPA, stand for Chandula Palit Abhay Vikrama. So I was thinking what I have been to the bank in all these 18 years. And if Lord says that you have been very committed toward the work that has been given, and that's why there's so much of impact that has been created. Then he said you can bring something on that line and say that about the commitment. And then he says that you are not only committed, but also that you are did not do a routine or a customary job when you are performing. You did everything very passionately, so that you are a passionate person and you put passion into it, and then it becomes more a living than a customary routine things. And then also said, because of that, your commitment and passion became much more thriving because of your allegiance. Allegiance is much more better word than loyalty. Allegiance is a obligation as a devotion, as a kind of a, you know, a greater involvement. So that's why I spoke to them, and they were very, very impressed. And yesterday we had the All Island Branch Managers Conference. We had about nearly 350 branch managers. We have about 180 branches, and nearly 350 branch managers and assistant managers, and all of there. And as you know, it's Branch Managers Conference. You put a lot of strategies, that is all the numbers, and you know what is expected, and all the kind of things like that from our CEO and CFO and rest of us. So I was like the number 3 presentation of the whole program, and then our CEO spoke and our CFO spoke, and all numbers, you know. So I mean, we have, you know. So when it came to mine, I had the numbers presentation, my areas which come under, and I thought I will not present these numbers and the strategies, and I put it on print, and I told the training manager to put them onto the folder so that they can have that. And what I did was, I thought, Lord said, okay, you speak on these 3, and that's what these people need. And I asked the Lord previous day, just give me some visual impressions how we could make this stronger. So I was trying to what about the commitment. So suddenly I was reading a Fortune magazine. I talk a story about the Melinda Gates, Bill Gates' wife. And in fact, 3 weeks ago, Bill Gates resigned from his position as the technocrat or the CEO of Microsoft, and decided to, with his wife, to go to the streets of Calcutta, to go to the streets of Africa, to help the AIDS victims and the tuberculosis victims, and help the poor, because they had the largest the fund, the foundation fund for 100 billion. And I felt, I mean, being such a man at that stature, for him to really leave about his job which he loves so much and go and hold the children with AIDS and touch the people who are, you know, and go to the streets of dusty roads of Calcutta. And I felt that was really a commitment, highest level of commitment from an individual of that caliber. So I put the picture of Bill Gates and Melinda Gates holding a child with AIDS in their hands, and I put this as commitment. And then 2 days ago, I was watching BBC, and I saw a story as one of the main stories about in London, because they have these lot of Indian restaurants are there, and it's hitting into the fish and chips restaurants. And then they said, you know, look, and they have every year a competition, and to select the best fish and chip restaurant. So and then they showed the me winner, either owner also a chef. And so he called, and he was asking, there's a TV anchor, BBC anchor called George Alagaya, and he was asking this question from this man, and asked, you know, every shop is same, you know, what is the difference of your fish and chips, you know? Because then he said, look, I use the same good materials, but he said, I fry with passion, you know? He said, when I fry with passion, and that's the difference, you know? So I think that's true. You remember sometimes, you know, when your mother or your some grandmother cooks something, it's the same ingredient, but it's better because she had more loving care while cooking that, you know. So that's, I put that. Then for the allegiance, I put the 2006, the winning champion team of France. Though France is a more white dominant, predominant country, their football team has only one white man. All the others are Africans, Algerians and Moroccans. So I put the things, I said these people are born in different countries, but their allegiance is to the France and the team of France. And I said that this is exactly that you would want. And I said the morning you saw a lot of numbers, but this is life for those numbers. And I said every time that you receive a letter from me next year, that my name will give you a further meaning, further reminder of this, your commitment and your passion and your allegiance. And I think that's really took off the conference. And thereafter they forget every presentation that was there whole day. And lunchtime they said CPA, you know. And then when we had the evening function, they said we have forgotten everything in the conference, that what we remembered is the CPA. You know, even yesterday we had a function in dinner, and they said, look, that we don't know, we can't remember the numbers, but we remember one thing, we remember the CPA. So the managing director sent an SMS to me and says, now our strategy of this bank depend on CPA. So praise the Lord for, so this is the wisdom of God that God gives, and I thank the Lord for God's goodness. And I also sent an SMS to him, said, this is nothing but God. And I give credit to God because I was used as a channel to communicate to these people. Brothers and sisters, I want to share something today. I told last Sunday about the aspect of the beast system. Interestingly, last Sunday, last week I saw this picture in the Sunday Island. The Vatican, Italian government near collapse. In fact, today, Italian government has lost the collapse. The Prime Minister has lost. Prime Minister has lost, and the government, they are going to have a snap election. Now you could see what I said. Italian government near collapse after Vatican plot. And today, Romani party has lost the majority in the parliament and they are going for a... Now who instigated this? None other than, because you see, like Vatican owns so many companies in this world, they have personalities in the board of directors. In the same way, in the Italian party, Italian political system, there is a party. It doesn't look like a represent in the Catholic Church, but it's a party of the Vatican Church. And they have about, say, 30-40 members in the parliament. So whatever they do, which Catholic Church doesn't really like it, immediately they call the shots and topple the government. Now this is not only done in Italy, but all over the world. And this is exactly what I said about the beast system, how strong it is getting. In fact, the French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, is not really a Frenchman, he's a Jew. His grandfather is a Jewish, Nicolas Sarkozy. But he too has become a Roman Catholic. For whatever the reason, I don't know. He has become a Roman Catholic and he himself is a Roman Catholic, but you know, he's in the news for getting married to or having an affair with another person after divorcing his wife. But he himself, his grandfather is a Jew. That's the name also that's for Nicolas Sarkozy. But what happens here is we see the prophecy is being fulfilled. And I remember brother gave me as I came about a paper about the messenger to the seventh church age. Brother Branham, he gave seven prophecies of the end time. And one of the prophecies he said was, I'll read that here. And he said here, in 1960, he says, and so this, I won't have time in this meeting to tell, he's telling in 1960. In 1933, this is now, in 1933 God has given him a vision. This woman is a nation, it is the number 13. It appears in the 13th chapter of Revelation, referring to the America. America is mentioned about in the 13th chapter of Revelation. 13 stars, 13 stripes, 13, everything 13. Everything is a woman, and remember, thus saith the Lord, he says, there will be a woman rule before the end time. She shall either be a president or vice president. So he goes on down the line. Now, in fact, in this, somebody has added to this about the Hillary Clinton, and apparently they say that Hillary would not lose the Clinton if she will lose Hillary Rodham. And that has exactly 13 when you calculate that number. Let's see what's going to happen in the American politics. And I know it's definitely she might be the winner, but it's going to be a fulfillment of prophecy. And that indicates then where you and I are living in the time of God's divine plan and in conclusion. For a short while today, since we have the Holy Communion, I'm starting a new series on the subject of the body of Christ. Now this is something which you see in this first slide, John chapter 6 says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood, ye have no life in you. So eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood and hath eaten eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The symbols that are before us, the wine and the body, wine and the bread represent certain symbolically in the act. And Jesus himself brought this aspect of when he told the disciples to do this as often as possible, because he said, till I come back, do this to remember him, remember the sacrifice he made. Now remember, Jesus goes back to something which present to the people about something about the blood. He said, this is the blood of the new covenant. The blood of the new covenant. And that means there is an old covenant The old covenant was with the children of Israel. And old covenant when God's first second creation, Adam, he had a covenant with him. Because God is a person who always come to a covenant with his people. So the blood, he said, this is the covenant of the new, this is the blood of the new covenant. And we need to understand what the body of Christ represents today in today's context. Let's try to understand something very important. Now this is very important, this what we are going to discuss. In the Exodus chapter 12, now soon after the children of Israel were brought out of the land of Egypt. They were in slavery for about nearly 400 odd years. And after that God sent the man, Moses, and brought salvation or redemption or bring them from slavery into the promised land. And on the way, now God speak to Moses and to the children of Israel and tell them certain thing to commemorate. You know, the reason to commemorate. They said these things have to be commemorated. And then he says about this, what need to be done. Before the commemoration, you find that Moses performed so many miracles in the presence of Egyptian king Pharaoh to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And the final instruction before they move out of Egypt, God gives in the Exodus chapter 12. And he says, this is the month shall be unto you the beginning of months. You see, the Jewish calendar, the beginning of month is not what we have. So it shall be the first month of the year unto you. And he says, this time is not the January, it's somewhere between March, April, that their month, which is month of Abib. That's the first month. And he says, speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month ye shall take them every man a lamb, and according to the house of their fathers, lamb for an house. He says you need to take a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, male of the first year. And ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And you know, you can see how the Lord is preparing the people step by step. And whole assembly of the congregation Israel shall kill it in the evening. Remember, when the time is spoken, he says, when the evening time, it is neither day or no night, but in the evening time there is light. Zechariah. And it shall take the blood and strike it upon the doorpost, on the upper door post of the houses therein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread. This is important. The unleavened bread, he says, particularly unleavened bread. And with the bitter herbs, they shall eat with bitter herbs. You remember in the book of Revelation, when I presented, he says, take the book and eat it. It shall be sweet in your mouth, bitter in your belly. So they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat. Eat not it raw, no sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head, his legs with his pertinence thereof. He shall eat nothing of it remain until the morning, and which remaineth until morning shall burn with fire. Thus shall he eat. Remember, this is exactly the instruction because God is going to do in our time. How is he going to eat? Thus shall he eat with your loins girded. In other words, make sure. You see, loins means when you have a dress, then you complete with a tight belt and you girdle it in. Your shoes on your feet and your stuff in your hand, ye shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. He is telling the way it should be eaten. With your loins girded, that means you complete your dress. There is nothing more to dress. You know, you don't have to go back and say, okay, I need to bring back my coat, I need to bring back this. Nothing like that. Prepare for that. Shoes on your feet, that means there is journey ahead very quickly. And your stuff in your hand, and you shall eat in haste, as it is in the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. Brothers and sisters, this is exactly I was telling in the last couple of weeks, that the Lord is presenting to His bride, that His bride be prepared. You remember He says His bride will be prepared. For unto her given that she should dress in fine linen, clean and white. And that He is given, God has given to us, that we are eating of His word. And we know that we have a very clear understanding, unlike many others, very, very clear understanding, the timing or the seasons of what time we live. So what happens is, the Holy Communion or the body of Christ as a symbolic this thing here, because God says, while you take this, the lamb, you see, the lamb was without a blemish, taken the blood and applied the blood to the doorpost, which resembles step by step. He is telling him how they should do. First of all, kill the lamb, and condition of the lamb, the firstborn of the year. And then you should kill the lamb, apply the blood, and then roast it. And you know, you see, when the Lord is dealing with people all the time, He will not touch one here, one there. Bible says precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little, that's the way the Lord do. He is a God who creates everything into order. And that's exactly the Lord will deal with His bride in the end time. He will reveal step by step everything. Because once we are fully complete with the fivefold ministry, which will bring to the full knowledge of the Son of God, we will bring to the full stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord will bring forth the ministry of the seven thunders to communicate us the what is needed for us. You see, so the death angel passed that night, and when it came, the final judgment upon the Egypt, death upon them, the life upon the Jewish community. It is exactly the same way, when the church is gone, when the bride is gone, then the Lord's judgment will begin to take place in this planet earth for the remaining people. And that's going to be exactly the same way, the history that will repeat. And he says here, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 10, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. I will smite the land. What happens here, brothers and sisters, you remember, Jesus, I told you that we have been bought with a great price. That price is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our blood had been polluted because of the first covenant was broken. And as a result of that our blood needs to be regenerated again. And that is only possible by the glorious work of the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, remember, verse 14, this day shall be unto you a memorial, and ye shall keep it feast unto the Lord throughout your generations. You see, while he was giving instructions, he is telling, this should be for a memorial throughout the generations. He is telling at that time, ye shall keep it a feast as an ordinance forever. So he shall keep it as a feast, as an ordinance forever. And then he says how it should be done. Then he says, chapter 15, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day shall ye put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. You see, the Lord is very specific. He is telling the children of Israel, because the other nations always, they try to set up at feast and make the bread very, you know, juicy and nice to eat. But he says they shall eat the unleavened bread. Brothers and sisters, you remember I told when we discussed in seven church ages, in the fourth age, what did the woman do? He took the meals, leavened it with all the false things. And that is why I said last Sunday, come out, have nothing to do with those things. You know, what you have in today, in the denominational systems, what comes from the Catholic Church, all that is leaven stuff, all that is gone there, the Trinity, and all those baptisms, all diluted, polluted, leaven stuff. And that is why God was specific at that time. He is specific even now. He told the children of Israel, please make sure that ye shall eat unleavened bread. He is very specific. And he says, put away leaven out of your houses. Brothers and sisters, I just want to tell you, please have nothing to do with the leaven stuff or the denominations. You cannot have one foot there and here, one foot. It's, God will not entertain that. Because you have to, like the children of Israel, he said very specifically, whosoever eat, put away the leaven out of your houses. Put away. And whosoever eateth the leavened bread, from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. That's the way he judges Israel. He is very specific with his judgment. He was very strong when he judged the nation of Israel. He punished them. As I told you, he never a nation in this world has been punished like that nation. Because of they entertain little here, little there. So I want to tell you very specifically, remember the leaven that woman inflicted upon those meals. In the seventh church age, the woman Jezebel, what did she do? She gave the food which was not meant for the servants or the children. They have partaken the fornication, partaken the food which is meant for somebody else. That's what they were eating. And ever since today, even our time, we find what is coming from the mother goes to the daughters. Mother eats that and the daughters also eats. So daughters also, the denominational daughters of the harlot mother, Church Roman Catholicism, eats all leaven stuff. She leavened it. What was those three important things? God, who was one God, was made presented as three gods. When you are told to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the name was thrown out, and then bring all kinds of teachings, diabolical. God hates, he does not like at that at all. And that's exactly the like mother, like daughters. So it is with the denominational system in this present day. They also have the same things in there. So, he told them, take away the leaven from your houses. So they had to throw them. Not only they had to throw them, they said if there is anybody who has touched it, done it anything, he will be cut off. That's the way the Lord expects the bride also, because he says the bride has to be without a spot or wrinkle. The Lord is wanting His bride to be without a spot or wrinkle. And if that is the case, we have to throw that away. That is why He said to come out of her, my people. Have nothing to do with, because do not get involved in the plagues, because there are plagues. When you go there, you will get all those sicknesses, plagues, spiritual plagues coming onto you and create doubt on the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ that is presented to the bride. And that's exactly here Paul talks about. Paul talks about a one body, one spirit. Ye are called to one hope of His calling. There is one body, because the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is not divided. He is not divided. But look at the denominations. There are so many sectors, divisions, denominations and sects. But the true body of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be divided. It is one. And even the Spirit of God is one. It is the same Spirit. And that Spirit cannot be divided into, you know, Baptist, Methodist, Anglicans and that all things. God is not like that. Okay, this is what I will do with Anglicans. This is what I will do with Methodists. This I will do with Baptists. This I will do with Pentecostals. No. There is one body, one Spirit, and even as ye are called for one hope of your calling. What is the hope of your calling? The calling is that you come to the very stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the calling. God calls us to be one. Belongs to Him. One Lord. Lord is not divided. And if Lord is not divided, there has to be one. One faith. There has to be one faith. There are today, you find how many faiths? So many faiths, but it's one faith. One baptism. There is no two, three baptisms. Whether it's spirit baptism or water baptism, there is one. One God and Father of all, who is above all. But unto every one of you is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The only difference, if there be, in the body of Christ is the measure of gift that is given to various members of this body. Because you find if you have the body, you find the head. Head is of course the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body. But then we could be various portions of the body. The fingers, the foot, the hand, the heart, or whatever the things. It would be various. Wherefore saith he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now remember, when Paul talks about the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he says he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now this should be properly understood. Until the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there are many people from Adam who were upon this planet Earth, and then God chose certain people who are called to bear His name, like Noah, like Abraham, like Isaac, like Jacob. Down the line, the list goes. And I think because of the curse that was pronounced upon the earth, they were captive within, under the place called Shiloh, which is the center of the earth, which is the prison, when the dead people, dead souls, they go right down there. And then he says he gave gifts. Two things he did. One thing he did was, he led captivity out of captivity. And then he gave gifts. Why did he give gifts? We need to understand this. And then he says, now that he descended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And he that descended is the same that ascended up far above heavens. You remember when Jesus was on the cross, He said, it is finished. He was on the cross for 6 hours. You know that? He was on the cross for 6 hours. And then Bible says, he says, it is finished. And the Bible says when that takes place, the graves open, the dead saints walked out of their graves, walk into the holy city, Jerusalem. What happened was, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ went right to the center of the earth, which is the Sheol. I have presented some time ago that place. And then He released them because they were, until that, there were, that place were in two portions. One portion, the people who belong to God, which is called the Abraham's bosom, was split into two. The others were totally have no relationship with God or God's favor or consideration on the other side. So from this side, the Jesus, which belonged to Him, released them. And that's why when He rose from the dead, when He went down, when His spirit went down, trees, and they walked out of their graves and walked into the city and then to the kingdom of God after some time. So what happens here is that is finished. All the people until the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody who did not have the redemption or the salvation, He released them from their captivity and to lead them to the one place. You remember everybody, they didn't go here, there and all over. Like, you know, when sometimes people are released, they one will go this way, other one will go. The Bible says they all walk into one place. The holy city, New Jerusalem. That's the place they went. There is no other place. They didn't go, you know, we call, you know, according to their desire, they didn't go. No, they walk into one place. Then He says He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, understand this. Now, there are a lot of people who call themselves pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers. But you can see the work they do. What they do, whether it fulfills the second portion here. Are they perfect in the saints? Are they edifying the body of Christ? Are they bringing the people to the knowledge of the Son of God? Are they bringing them to the perfect measure and the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are they preaching for their own gratification? I saw a write-up, I think I sent to Govind. There is a well-known American pastor called David Wilkerson. He has written a book on Cross and the Switchblade. He has said boldly, all these events, the TV preachers, they are a bunch of liars and they are bringing diabolical things. In fact, some TV evangelists have boasted saying that I recently bought a dog for $18,000 by God's grace. So, I mean, they say this is the prosperity, this is the way, you know, I prosper. And he says he challenged that. And I think I will probably next time bring the copy of that. That's a very interesting article. He openly telling his people not even to go to those churches, not even to listen to those people who preach that kind of prosperity gospel. Of course, God knows how to look after us. He knows how to take care of our needs and how to minister to our requirements. He knows. But He will not really sometimes make us a multimillionaire, but He knows how He is going to take care of our requirements. But what happens here, because there are many people who call themselves and they are not really sent by God. And that's exactly, I must tell you, the Bible says, if a prophet speaks, And if what he speaks does not come to pass, don't ever believe it. And that's exactly, there are many things. And I remember, thankful to the Lord, that October God gave us a prophecy. And I think one of the things that the Lord said to us was, there are going to be economic calamities. And you will see the birth pangs of that. And then in October, the Lord told us here in this place, and it is on the record, it's recorded. And you would see now the recession, talks about the recession, talks about the stock market crashing, talks about various other things that are happening in the world. And there's talks about so many economical calamities, talks about, and soon after that we heard the Citibank, the lost $18 billion. And we heard the Society General lost $7 billion. All that is suddenly we hear, because Lord warned us and said these things would happen. But he says not to be worried about it. The Lord will take care of it. And that's what the Bible says. If somebody says something, if God use a prophet, and what he said doesn't come to pass, and what he says is contrary to the word of God, then you are the judge of that. That is exactly the Lord's goodness to us. So he says, till we come to the unity of faith. What is the unity of faith? It is not uniting all these denominations and said, okay, now we are under the banner. That's exactly what the Catholic Church would do, because they will bring the church to the great union that they are planning, which rightly all these denominations are a member. World Council of Churches. That's the unity they are talking about. But God is not talking about that unity. But he is talking about what he has prophesied in Isaiah chapter 52 verse 8. He says that they shall see eye to eye. When the watchmen begin to see the coming things, you would observe a group of people see eye to eye. What you see, you would see. What I see, you would see. It's the same thing. There is no difference between. And that's exactly what the Lord will do. When God begins to deal with you, if part of the body of Christ, you will be contented with being, you won't be contented being average believer. If you are a part of the body of Christ, you will never be contented being average believer that the denominational churches produce. What the denominational churches produce? They produce an average believer which goes with their Bible Sunday and that's it. And they don't want to commit to the Lord much more than that. They are just a part-time believers, part-time children of God, not full-time children. They are part-time weekend children of God. They are substandard believers, which is presented not by the Spirit of God, but by a certain denominational spirit which propel them to be like that. You will begin to understand that God is preparing you for very specific placement and creating you a sensitivity to His voice. Do you know that God is preparing you and me for a very specific placement in the body of Christ? You would know that. I would know that. Because our sensitivity to His voice would be really true. God will lead us by His Spirit step by step, line upon line, but He will not give the entire picture till we come to the full potential of our position in Christ. We would not see everything, but what happens is, as I told you, the fivefold ministry is responsible for bringing you to the stature, bringing you to the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord will lead you step by step. And as the Lord leads you, one thing that will happen, as the Lord presents His word to you, He will make sure that, you remember as I told you last Sunday, that He will, like Michelangelo, got rid of from that marble pillar, which is not of David, same way the Holy Spirit in us, get rid of the things which are not really belong to His divine order in our lives. So Psalms 89:15 says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. And you know what happens is, do you know there is a joyful sound? And when you know the joyful sound, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. What the Lord expects is that we, you and I, walk in the light of his countenance. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Not everybody know the joyful sound. And because they don't know it, they are unable to walk. You remember Enoch walked, the Bible says. Enoch walked because he was sensitive to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Voice of God. Of course, sorry, Lord Jesus was not. Enoch was sensitive to the voice of God. Because he was sensitive to the voice of God, he was able to walk with the Lord. When he walked with the Lord, they walk in the light of his countenance. So the ultimate plan of God is bring you and me to the very absolute stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, while be very specific in leading, will permit conditions that will test and try us, prove that we are indeed the wheat, not tares, O foolish virgins. That's exactly we have been talking and presenting throughout the so many months, that the trial of our faith, there is going to be a trial of not your natural life, but trial of your faith. And there will be conditions to try and test that we are indeed the wheat, we are indeed the wise virgins, not belong to the tares. The tares will move away. The foolish virgins will have the light. What happened to foolish virgins? They did not have the light to see the Lord. The wise have the light to see things of the world. And it says in Colossians 1, give thanks to the Father which has made us to meet the partakers of his inheritance of the saints in the light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear sons, been translated, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. What he means here, firstborn of every creature, means Jesus is the example, the firstborn of the new creation. The firstborn of the first whole creation is Adam. Jesus is the firstborn of the new creation. And everybody else will have to match that creation, that prototype or the prototype. He the firstborn of every creature means every son of God. He the firstborn. By him all things are created. Referring to again the new creation. Of course not the old creation. When God created heaven and earth, Jesus was only in his mind, is a thought. He said, by him all things are created in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things that were created by him, for him. Referring to the new creation from the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is before all things, by all things he consists. Now this not referring to the Old Testament, the things, but he's referring to from the time of Jesus, the kingdom, the order of things that will take place. Because he is before all of us. Because he was the great example. He was that great example or the express image of the Father. And then he says he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. That's exactly so. This is talking about, not about the time before the Lord Jesus Christ, not about the time of creation. It talks about the new creation. it talks about the things of in the new kingdom. That's what he says, he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning? He is the beginning. He is the fine example. He is the exact design that God wants you and I to be. He is the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. So this is exactly that the Lord wants you and I to be after him. So I think I will not proceed from here because we have to have Holy Communion. But I want to tell you, we are continuing this study. And this is a wonderful and interesting study. There are so many things that the Lord has shown to me that need to be presented to the people here. With regard to your position in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he says he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Because he is the head, we are the body. And he might have the preeminence. Now that's exactly you need to understand. Because head had the preeminence, because head decides, head plans, it gives the directions to the body. So, in all things that he might have the preeminence. Now we have to ask the questions, brothers and sisters, how much preeminence the Lord has in your life and in my life? Or am I taking preeminence in the instead of the Lord? And so can he fulfill that responsibility as the head of the church? Because he is not preeminence, that's why in the denominations somebody else come to prominence, not the Lord. Somebody else take the position of the Lord. That's what the beast system. In place of the Son of God, 666, in the throne of Pope Vicarius Filidium. It represents, in Latin, in place of the Son of God. That's where the numbers, when you count it, is 666. So, the same way, you look at the denominational system. The Lord does not have preeminence. It is another human being in a different way take the preeminence. And the Bible says God hates that. And when you see the mother and the harlot daughters, and they give in to preeminence of a human being. But the Lord wants you and me to recognize your position in the body of Christ. And that's exactly what the Lord is dealing with us. Brothers and sisters, I must tell you, we are not preaching a religion here. Even we are not trying to propagate teaching belong to some human beings. We are not trying to make money in this place. But we want the true children of God to recognize their position in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want those children to give their lives to the functions of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. To recognize the leading of the Holy Spirit. Recognize the joyful sound. They recognize how you need to walk in the light of his countenance. They recognize that you need to be, should not be like the bat. You should not be like the bat. You know the story of the bat? In concluding, I will tell the story of the bat. You know the bat, there was a story about the animal kingdom, and the bird's kingdom has a huge war. And there has a huge battle between the animals and the birds. All the birds are now huge battle. So there was this particular one, all the time wants to be, neither want to be, you know, not sure, because one time the animals were winning, so this person goes to that and be there. And when then the next time the birds were winning, he tried to go to that side. So this was continuing for a long time. And finally, he lost his position in both places. So that's why the Baptist doesn't belong to neither group. In the night, when the birds are sleeping, he is awake. And in the daytime, when the animals are awake, he is sleeping. And I think there is no way that you and I are going to fall into that. Because some people are worried, you know, should I be here, should I be there? Is this the right thing? Is this the right place? You know, listen to the voice of God. Don't listen to my voice. Listen to the voice of God. Let the Lord lead you. Don't be like that. Let the Lord give you the understanding, your position in the bride of Christ. The bride will not be a bat. Bat will neither here, neither here. Jesus said in the last days church, Laodicean church, you are neither hot nor cold. Either if you are hot, at least something. If you are cold, it's also okay. But you are neither here nor there. There was a film called Rare Daniel Daval Miguel. You know, I don't know if they're still there, but you know, there was a single film. You know, sometimes some of us are like that. But the Lord wants us to be like His bride, not like the bat. So the Lord will have preeminence. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us tonight. And as we go before you, Lord Jesus, now, Lord, thanking you to help us to understand the Holy Word and what it means to be the bride of Christ, what it means to be part of the body of Christ, what it means to be throwing away leaven in the midst of us. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we prepare for the Holy Communion, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you begin to minister in Jesus' name. I'll read a small portion of scripture in preparation. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 onwards. For I have received of the Lord, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night which was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took cup, when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Thus shall ye do, as often ye drink it, you remember me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye shall show the Lord dead till he come. Father, I thank you this morning, evening, as we take these emblems, Lord. Right now, Lord, we take this bread, Father, which represent your body, Lord. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, it is the act that is holy, Lord. And as we partake, Father, we remember, Lord, that your body was broken, you are broken for. Your body was broken and bruised. And by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are healed. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as this bread is broken and shared among every one of us, I pray it will nourish not only our physical body, Lord, but the soul, Lord Father, that we would have the clear revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in every aspect, Father. Lord, we also take this wine, Father, which represents your blood, Father, which was shed for us. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the blood of the New Testament, you said, when you're referring to this wine. And I know, Lord, because of your blood, we are the children of the New Covenant, Lord. We are the children of the New Testament, Lord. And as we drink this blood, Father, we realize, Lord, it is the Spirit of God that, Father, reveals the things of Thy Holy Word for our nourishment, Father. And as we partake, Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that You minister.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord, we praise You. We magnify You. We magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless You, Lord. We praise You. Hallelujah. 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 We praise You. We praise You. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to pray for some people who have various conditions in their body. The Lord is going to touch some of them tonight. The Lord is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, the Bible says. The Bible says tonight that the Lord is going to touch some of us who are need complete deliverance in our physical body. We are going to pray very specially for some who needs healing for your body soon after the service is over. Let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we are thankful to You tonight. This wonderful time that we spend before Your holy throne. We worship You in the beauty of Thy holiness. In song, in adoration, in thanksgiving, in worship. We worship You in spirit and in truth. And also, Father, You broke the bread for us, Lord. And You gave us Your divine bread for us, for our nourishment. Lord, we also prayed for one another in washing one another's feet in obedience to all Your commandments. And we drank the wine which represents the blood of the Lord, New Testament, New Covenant for us. And I thank You, Father, and as we are heading for a week, Father, that Your hand is going to be upon us. We pray in Jesus' name. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May His presence go before you, beside you. May He let His mighty hand very strongly and heavily upon you. May He keep you in the center of His divine plan and purpose and will. And may He let His face shine upon you. May He walk in the light of His countenance as you hear the joyful sound of His voice. Pray in Jesus' name. God bless you. If anybody needs prayer, Sriyani is there, Brother Ravi and myself. We will pray for you so that you would have Lord's healing worship coming on your body. Look forward to see you next Sunday. We will continue this subject, the body of Christ.